White Rockin' Entertainment, podcast number 489.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with thewareaglereader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family. You are our patreon.com family and we couldn't do it without you. I'm Van Allen Plexico and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, it is time. It is time. This is always our biggest show of the year. This is our most important show because we, very simply put, we eat of the magical barbecue because we are SEC guys. Barbecue automatically has magical properties. We know this. We sample of the barbecue, and it reveals unto us how each SEC team is going to do this year. And then in turn, we reveal that to our audience. And it's always a very fun time. And as we've said in years past, our audience members got to listen to us eat. But in this very special episode, we are actually recording this live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter so that people can actually watch us eat and listen to us eat. This just doesn't get any better than that, right? This is what you folks want to see. You want to watch people eat while talking about football. And we've got the barbecue. I got me a nice little bag of chips here to go along with it. I've even got a Rice Krispie treat to wash it all down. We've got a semi-special guest going to appear to promote his Twitter account later. And we've also got some stuff in from Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist. By the way, I want to remember that at some point, and we might want to add this on to the, I'm kind of unable to do it, but if you could add on to our thing, like maybe right after the Patreon break, when we come back, we could do the drawing. And somebody's going to win, somebody is going to win Jared's print, art he did of Aubie. And I want to see if I can find what I did with that picture really quick, because Jared just did a fantastic job. Bear with me 1 second, and I'm going to show everybody what this great picture of I think I mailed it. Yeah, here it is. I got it. Here you go. I'm going to share the screen for just a second so that everybody can see what you're going to get a chance to win a print of signed by Jared. There it is. How cool is that?
Very nice.
I love it. So Jared did this as an original artwork. He's going to give one print of it, nice, high quality paper print of it away. And to one of our patrons that we're going to pick randomly, right after we do the break a little bit later. So without any further ado, before the barbecue gets cold, I think we probably ought to get into it. Do we have anything? Let me switch back over to our little agenda here. Let's see. So what if we haven't told where the barbecue came from. It's always different every year because I always get different barbecue. You get different barbecue. So first tell where your barbecue came from and then I will. And then, we also be able to have live comments. And Clay says, I feel like I won the lottery, randomly turned on Facebook and the annual barbecue. So that's right. Can't beat it, man. Let's see. Tim says, I grilled Conica sausage. Does that count? Absolutely. We do not judge the barbecue. We only appreciate. And there's Steven Schuster. I'll be eating barbecue in Birmingham tomorrow. Very good. Well, we're going to be eating barbecue right now all over the world on the internet. So where did your barbecue come from, John?
This barbecue is from a place in Richmond called Smoke. But it's Smoke, like S-O-S-M-O-H-K. It's a family-owned place in a neighborhood called Scott's Addition, Richmond. It's very good. This is their pulled pork that I got today. I got the traditional kind of pulled pork platter combo with two sides. and very excited about that. And and my favorite barbecue place, Richmond, is ZZQ, which is a more of a Texas style barbecue. Oh, it's nice. Very good, but they are not open on Mondays, and I got it today at lunch. So
I was going to say, that's something that Amy, my wife, reminds me about every year, which is, you're doing the barbecue show on Monday. I'm like, yeah. She says, remember, a lot of the barbecue places, for some reason, aren't open on Monday. They're open over the weekend.
They cook. They're like bakeries. They cook all weekend and then
take the day off. Yeah. So I'm actually having the this is when we had the COVID lockdown. You remember, I twice within about a week, I dug out frozen pork shoulders I'd stashed away like several years ago. In the bottom of the freezer, they were fine. I always seal them up in like, seal them in the vacuum thing. And I smoked them both up. And this is one of the last packets I brought up. And we had it for supper just now. And I've got my, I set aside a part. I said, this is the sacred, magical barbecue part that has to be set aside and taken care of. Hey, Dwayne, I see Dwayne says, well, I love you too, man. We appreciate you very much. We appreciate all you guys. Okay. So, oh yeah. How does this work? Talk a little bit about how we do this.
So the way we do this is we do the East teams first and then the West teams. And we basically say the name of a team. We eat some barbecue, and the barbecue, you know, goes in our system. It's kind of like, you know, the Greek oracles or whatever. And we eat it, and then the prophecies come out of our mouth, and we say what we think about that team, how that team's going to do this year.
Yeah, it's really quite remarkable how the science and the alchemy combine. You know, it's like it's partly like trigonometry, I think, and it's partly biochemistry, and it's partly alchemy,
it's partially like reading the entrails.
It is, and I think there's a little Game of Thrones in it too, maybe. I'm not entirely sure. And there's a little Men in Blazers as well, where I totally stole it from. All right, so without further ado, I have this year's intro bit. Are you ready?
Ready.
There is football season beyond that which is known to man. It is a season as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is a season in which teams play conference games only, with no out-of-conference games at all. A season in which games could be canceled at a moment's notice. A season in which the Big Ten and the Pac-12 may not even play at all. This is a season beyond our mortal imagination. There's the scoreboard up ahead. Your next stop, the 2020 zone. I thought.
Nice work.
I wasn't sure where to go with it this year. And then I thought, you know, if there's ever been a year that's the Twilight Zone, this is it, right? We are. All right. But I'm not going to play that annoying Twilight Zone theme the whole rest of the show. Don't worry. I figured when you need music for the eating, because we have music cues for each of the eating, right? For each team, you just got to go old school. You just got to go back to basics and go old school. So I think you'll like it. So shall we go to the barbecue on the first? Who's our first team up?
We're going to start in the East, and we're going to go alphabetical in the East. So the first team up is the Florida Gators.
Florida Gators, let us go to the barbecue. Well,
pretty good, pretty consistent.
It always ends up tasting like it's got too much sunscreen on it. You know, it always has kind of like a copper tone, copper tony, little flavor of cut off blue jeans, hairspray. Yeah. Well, the Gators, I mean, they're one of those teams that are contending, right?
Yep.
They're it's like them and Georgia probably in the East. And let me ask you this. Would you say that the schedule shakeup, and I may ask you this several times over the course of the show, would you say the schedule changing up benefited them or hurt them? Or is just the answer hurt for everybody?
I will answer that question differently for each team. Florida, It helped them. Florida has the easiest schedule in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, that's I'm kind of refreshing my.
So
I tell you what,
out of the West, they dodge us and Alabama.
Yeah,
they have a lot of experience coming back. You know, both sides of the ball, a lot of consistency in the coaching staff, returning quarterback. So I think that's pretty good.
You know, the barbecue is telling me 9-1, but it's not. And I think they are a one team. They're a one game season, Georgia, right? I mean, that's pretty much it.
100%.
But I'm not, the barbecue is not telling me they're going to lose necessarily to Georgia. It's telling me they could upset Georgia, then turn around and lose to Kentucky or Tennessee. Well, not Kentucky. The barbecue is not insane, John. But because that's the law. But Tennessee, I mean, at the end, you know, you could be like, we beat Georgia, we're coasting on out, and then
it could be Georgia that moves to South Carolina or something stupid like that.
Something stupid like that, exactly. So I'm getting 9-1, but again, it's a gauntlet of a season. They could very easily be 7-3. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling 8-2. I think they're gonna be good. I think the easy schedule benefits them. But again, I could see them losing, like they gotta go to A&M. I could see them losing like that game in Georgia or something and good, but you know.
But yeah, dodging Alabama, dodging Auburn. They open with Ole Miss. Yeah, I mean it really they got an open week before Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of sets up pretty nice for them.
It does.
I mean, you're probably right. There's probably another loss in there but when I just look at them head to head each week, I only see one loss. Okay. So 8-2, 9-1, somewhere in there is what the barbecue is telling us about Florida. And our barbecue doesn't always agree.
That's true.
It's not the same barbecue. It comes from different places. Okay. Let's see. And of course, any other thoughts we could go on to? Who's up next?
University of Georgia.
University of Georgia. Let us go to the barbecue. Oh, you know what? I forgot something.
What?
I forgot something. Jared had some picks too.
Oh.
And he wanted to – and I have a little introduction bit. Where I needed to tell you what Jared was thinking. And let me see what I did with it. Here it is.
Hey, fellas. Sorry I'm late. I got what I need right here in the bag. And, oh, heck, you guys have got Southern barbecue. I thought you said Mongolian barbecue. I've got Mongolian barbecue. I don't know if that'll give us the predictions that we want, but... you know what? I'll go ahead and try it. You guys do your thing, and I'll let you know what I find out from the Mongolian barbecue. You guys go ahead, and I'll come back when you're done.
Okay. That's good. So Jared's going to eat the Mongolian barbecue and see if it gives him a different perspective, I guess, on how things turn out. So okay, let's don't forget to get the back end of that.
All right. I may try the Mongolian next year.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. Very good. Glad I remember that. I got 15 plates spinning here. So, all right. So, you say Georgia's next?
University of Georgia.
Woo. That's interesting. I'm going to have a big bite of barbecue, a big bulldog sized bite. But I tell you what, if I got to have Georgia on here, let's see if I've actually got, Oh, here it is. If I got to have Georgia on here, I got to have the song they stole from us. Go to the barbecue, John! To the barbecue! Auburn, glory, glory to Auburn, A-U-B-U-R-N.
Oh, man.
Part is bring extra napkins.
You know, I put a little sip. Oh, I didn't tell you. I got three different sauces here. So I'm working the Sweet Baby Ray's, which has got a thick consistency, but kind of a molasses. I got the 17th Street, which is a more of an orange sauce, got a different flavor. 17th Street's very unique. Located in my wife's hometown of Murfreesboro, Illinois. And I've got the Corky's because I love to stop at Corky's in Nashville on the way down whenever I go down to Auburn or Sylacauga or Birmingham or Atlanta or wherever. I always stop at Corky's on Old Hickory Boulevard. Oh, Hickory. All right. So the barbecue has spoken about Georgia, and man, you know what it's telling me is they may have the best team, but they got a little road to hoe. What's the barbecue telling you, John?
It's telling me they're going to be pretty good again, but it may be more the same. Great defense, you know, occasional struggles on offense.
Do they have a quarterback?
They do. They have two quarterbacks still competing for the job, the transfer from Southern Cal and a redshirt freshman. And, you know, they have a new offensive coordinator. Their offensive line coach left and went to be the head coach at Arkansas. And so, you know, Todd Monken, the former Southern Miss coach, is the new offensive coordinator. Auburn has the fewest amount of offensive line experience returning in the SEC. Georgia is the second.
Wow.
And they it's not just Fromm. They lost a ton on that offense. Offensive line experience, DJ Swift, a lot of other talent. So, you know, it's not just a quarterback. If they have a whole bunch of new starters on offense. They have a new coordinator and a new completely different kind of system. And the quarterback that practiced all offseason then opted out. You know, Newman, the quarterback from Wake Forest. So I think they're going to be a team that, you know, they have a lot of talent. Obviously, they've recruited very well. They have a bunch of 4 or 5-star running backs who are going to be really good. And I think, you know, either one of the quarterbacks would be fine, whichever one they end up playing. I think they're going to try and go more spread, try and, you know, move the ball around, do some different things, unlike kind of the pro style boring stuff they've been doing for years. But I think they're not going to be that different a team ultimately. I think it's going to be, you know, I think they have the best defense in the conference, and I think they're going to lean on that and try and not screw it up with the offense. Again, you know, I think there was a feeling, you know, months ago that I think they were going to try to go like the LSU route. You know what I'm saying? And go all in on the offense side. And I'm a little skeptical about that right now based on the quarterback turnover and the lack of practice time with the new offense. We'll see. I think they're going to be more aggressive than they were last year, but that's not saying a whole lot. I just think they're one of these teams, the offensive inconsistency in the early parts of the season could be a problem for them. They do have a pretty easy schedule. They get, you know, part of that's because they don't play themselves, but I mean, they play us in Alabama. They don't, but other than that, in the West, they get Arkansas and Mississippi State. So, you know, it really, and I think the East is catching up to them a little bit. I think, you know, they were, everybody else in the East was terrible for a while. Georgia has not lost an SEC East game since 2016, I think.
Good Lord.
Yes.
Wow.
So I didn't realize that. The East is catching up. I think Tennessee, Florida, the other teams in the East are catching up to them, and that's not going to continue forever, even though Georgia fans do usually think it will. So, I think they're going to be really good, but I think, the uncertainty in the offseason and the quarterback issues are going to keep them from peaking, you know, offensively in the first half of the season at least.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at Georgia, and I'm just thinking, just like with Florida, I mean, you know, they've got a harder schedule, obviously. They've got Alabama. I really think our game with them sets up so well because we'll have a game where we're really going to have to work out the kinks to win. And if we do, we'll go into Athens with no hostile crowd, really. That's a huge advantage. Yep. We're playing them in Athens, but without 90-something thousand people screaming.
That's right.
You'll be able to hear Uga snoring, you know, right there on the sideline. And they got uncertainty with their offense, uncertainty of the quarterback, all that. I mean, it just sets up so well for us. I just don't think it could set up much better for us playing them on the road than the way that it's working out this year. Same with Alabama later on. And so they got that Alabama game, which is in Tuscaloosa. Not that that's going to matter as much this year. They've got Florida. As always, I think they're going to be doing well to go 8-2. I think Florida could end up winning the division just by dint of not having to play Alabama.
Yeah, I think 8-2 as well. That's right.
The barbecue says 8-2. I think that's pretty firm. All right. That was Georgia. Who's next?
Next, Kentucky.
Kentucky. Let's see. I think we'll go ahead and just do a good old to the barbecue. To the barbecue. I'm a little Corky's on this one. I'll save some chips for there. Okay. Okay.
All right.
It's not terrible. It's gotten better quality than it used to be.
Yeah, it used to be just dreadful.
Yeah, it used to, well, it used to be poor smoked chicken, and now it kind of, or turkey. But this is not too bad. So,
no.
What's the barbecue saying to you about Kentucky?
The barbecue saying to me that they're solid. They've gone, you know, years ago they were the bottom of the SEC, and they've moved up at kind of that middle tier of solid, you know, teams that, you know, could go 500 in conference. And I think, you know, they're the kind of team that the change of schedule really hurts.
Yes.
They went from a, you know, relatively okay schedule and four non-conference games where they could win and go like, you know, 4-4 in the SEC and go 8-4, right,
yeah,
to a team where, you know, they have the, you know, out of the 14 teams, they have the sixth hardest schedule. So I think that does hurt them. They're excellent on defense. They have a lot of returning talent on defense, and they're really good there. Offensively, they have a really strong offensive line. They've lost, you know, if you remember last year, their quarterback got hurt at the beginning of the year, and they put a wide receiver, Lynn Bowden, at quarterback, and basically ran the high school, you know, wishbone kind of offense where your best athlete just keeps the ball every time it runs around. And Lynn Bowden was their, you know, Hines Ward kind of player. He did it all, and he's gone. He's in the NFL now. But the quarterback is back, Terry Wilson. He's recovered. He's back. And the year before, when he was healthy, they went 10-3. He's not terrible. Their defense is actually, I think, the most underrated part of their team. They're well-coached, solid, a lot of good players on that side of the ball. And people always talk about their offensive line. And I think Eddie Graham, you know, the former Auburn coach, is offensive coordinator. He's done an excellent job there. They adapt to what they have. But they're going to try and run the ball at people. And it may be that, you know, in this kind of year, that kind of game plan and stuff will work. But, you know, they got to go at their Western road trips are at Auburn and at Alabama. So, you know, and then in that division, you're still punching up to Georgia and Florida. And so and Tennessee, I think, feel like has kind of reached their level after being below them for a few years. So it's tough for them.
Well, the barbecue is telling me that the schedule is doing them no favors at all. And it's telling me that they look to be a 5-5 team. If they can get past Tennessee 6-4, and then if they can beat us in the opening week 7-3, maybe. But 5-5 is pretty much, I mean, because yeah, they got to play Auburn. They got to play Tennessee. They got to play Georgia. They got to play Alabama and Florida back to back. And then even South Carolina, you never know from year to year what South Carolina's going to do. So I feel strongly 5-5.
100% with you, 5-5.
There it is. All right, Kentucky. All right, who's next?
Your closest SEC team, the Missouri Tigers.
Ah, the Missouri Tigers! Well, in honor of the other Tigers, let's go to the barbecue with this. There you go. Okay. Well, Missouri is one of those teams I never know from year to year, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, did you see them going to the SEC championship game like the first two or three years they were in the conference? So you just never know. But they open with Alabama at home, and then Tennessee, LSU, they got Florida in there. They got Georgia, Kentucky. I mean, it's everybody plays everybody in the East, obviously, but Alabama and LSU, well, LSU's a weird thing, but that's not an easy schedule.
No. And, again, I think one of the things in the year of uncertainty and limited practice time, brand-new head coaches, I think, are extra challenged. And so Missouri is a brand-new coach. They hired Eli Drinkwitz, who was the, you know, at Appalachian State last year. Before that was the offensive coordinator at NC State, your favorite school. And
The void of interest.
And he was smart. He kept most of the defensive coaching staff, but you know, their offense has been terrible. He's going to try and do a lot of that. And back to help him as offensive coordinator, Curtis Looper, another former Auburn assistant.
Curtis Looper, yes.
Yeah. And they have a transfer quarterback from TCU. You know, he's okay. I'm not ecstatic about their offense. I think their defense is going to be okay. But, again, in that division, I think they don't have the talent. I think they're going to be okay. They're going to win some games, but they're not, kind of an upper half team.
No. The barbecue looked at Missouri and said, opening with Alabama and Tennessee and LSU, bang, bang, bang. You take a little break for Vanderbilt, and then you're right back in Gainesville playing Florida. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they can win the games that are like toss ups, and they're looking at best at 4-6.
I'm going to say, it's either 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go 3 just because the new coach thing scares me.
I think that we need to state this now, because this is becoming obvious to me. We need to make it clear that in this type of schedule, which we've never seen anything like before, 4-6 this year would be like 7-6 or 7-5.
Yes.
In a normal year.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's no Northeast Louisiana Polytechnic Foot Care Institute. Mm-hmm. There's no Northwestern College for Mail Postal Deliverers of Wisconsin. It's just SEC, SEC. Oh, and here's some more SEC. And if you are a middle rank SEC team and you go 4-6 with some of these schedules, you should just kind of go, yeah, that's cool. That's
success.
That's 7-5, 8-4 any other year.
Fans won't see it that way, but you're 100% correct.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. So we're looking at 3 or 4. Is that what we said for Missouri?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay, who's next?
The Chickens.
Oh no. Let me find. I know I'm going to mess up. I don't have like a song predetermined for everybody, but I don't want to miss the ones that are the most obvious. So I guess instead of the chicken, I've got the horse. Go with a little Sweet Baby Ray this time. You know, there's people tuning in now right when we're doing that. And they're going,
what are they doing?
These fellas are just on the air eating. What is this? Martha, there's these fellas. They're on the air just eating. What is going on?
It's food TV, okay?
This
is like Celebrity Chef.
This show should be a joint production of the SEC Network and the Food Network.
Yeah.
It should be, man. Oh, wow. Absolutely. Cross-pollinization. Absolutely. Okay. Well, so I forgot who we were looking at.
South
Carolina. I thought the chicken. That's right. It was just too much. Too much going on. Oh, Ben has a question here. Will 4-6 teams go to bowl games that so many teams aren't playing? It's weird, right? On the one hand, he's I get another one in a second. On the one hand, there's so many teams that are not playing allegedly. We'll see, right? That there will be more bowl games available.
That's right.
But on the other hand, everybody's record's going to be worse because they're playing a harder schedule. So Ben is right. Would they let a 4-6 team in?
I think in a normal year, obviously not. But this year, 100% yes. There's a lot of bowl games. They're going to want teams.
Do they have to change the rule?
I think they can waive it. They can do it. Again, they've done a lot of one-time exception thing this year. I think they could do that.
That's true. Yeah, you've done a lot of other exceptions in NCAA. So
I can't wait for, 4-6 Missouri against 4-6, Texas Tech in the Pooley and Weeder Independence Bowl or whatever.
And you know what? We would eat it up like this barbecue.
I bring it.
Be all over it. And when he says diners, drive-ins, and drugs, you don't know. Yeah, you're probably right. You don't know. Okay, let's see. Do we got any more East teams? Oh, we're
in the middle of doing South Carolina, and we have Tennessee.
Oh, we haven't even done South Carolina. Does anybody care about South Carolina?
All right, here's the funny part about South Carolina that we'll appreciate. Their new offensive coordinator is Mike Bobo.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
So you're getting a lot of run the ball, Bobo.
The barbecue's telling me they're going to be lucky to be 3-7.
Yeah, they got the fourth toughest schedule in the league. It's a must-champ team. You know, that's what it is. They had a lot of hope for this stud freshman running back. He got hurt. He's going to miss the year. They're missing, you know, their version of Derek Brown. It was a guy named Ken Law who was there last year. He's gone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe Bobo's talking about slowing down the offense and huddling more and that kind of stuff. So, I'm with you. 4-6.
That's optimistic, I think. I'm going to find them 4 wins. Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Missouri, Kentucky. That's the 4 easiest.
I'll go 3-7.
I got to say, I think we better reevaluate. 3-7, yeah. Okay, let's roll on. Who's next? Tennessee. Let's go. Let me find a good song. You know, in honor of all those years that Tennessee went through before the last couple of years, I'm going to go ahead and play them. Dropping barbecue. Chasing it everywhere.
I can't believe we're doing this on the air.
This is, by the way, the Auburn University marching band over the years. I went in to all of their albums on YouTube and iTunes, and I took selected songs from each performance that I thought would be good for like about 45 seconds of audio. So hats off to the awesome AU marching band. Yep. Okay, so Tennessee.
What is the barbecue telling you?
The barbecue is confused. The barbecue is like, I'm not sure who's going to show up. So
here's what I think. A lot of experience coming back. Most offensive line experience in the league. Most starters returning.
Wow.
Now, fifth hardest schedule.
Yeah.
So that's not easy. But, you know, this is a team. They started – remember, again, this seems like 100 years ago, but they started terrible last year. Remember, they lost to Georgia State and what BYU, whatever. But at the end of the year, they went 7-1. Yeah. So they feel like that 7-1 team is just going to come around the corner and keep going. And we know from experience it doesn't always work that way. See,
can we bear in mind that Tennessee always finishes strong because their November is like
Cupcake City.
It always
this year that team that because of the rearranging the schedule, this team with the cupcake November is Georgia. So you watch that Georgia is dominating, rolling in November. Narrative's coming. You wait for that.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, Georgia's November after Florida is Missouri, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. That is a Tennessee November right there.
Georgia's really improved in the second half of the season. That narrative is coming. You can write that and take it to the bank. So
it's amazing how much better you look when you're not playing Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, and Florida every week in Kentucky. I know. I look at Tennessee, and I mean, 7-3, I think, is what the barbecue says. And I'm trying to find fault with it. But, I mean, if they play –
I don't find fault. I'm going to say 6-4. That's
okay.
Easy.
They got Georgia. They got Alabama. They got Auburn. I guess it's a matter of
A&M.
Florida, 6-4. Okay, and A&M. So it's either 5-5 or 6-4, I think.
I think I'm going to say 6-4, but I wouldn't be stunned if it was 5-5.
Well, I think this is another really good example. They could be 5-5 or 6-4 and be a really good team.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to say 6-4 because I think, you know, I penalized Missouri for the lack of experience. Again, Tennessee, consistency, yeah. Same, a lot of experience returning, you know, not a lot of turnover in the coaching staff. And so I think they're poised to be okay.
Okay. Who's last? Vanderbilt. And in commemoration of what they usually do in every season. They lived and they let die. That went down easy.
Yeah. It was almost the marshmallowy. You know, they won one conference game last year and they have the second toughest schedule in the SEC now.
Golly. Well, because they don't have to play Vanderbilt.
They don't have to, again. That's it. It's one of those things. They don't have to play themselves. You know, they got A&M and LSU out of the West, but again, they got Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky. So
they could legit go 0-10. 100%.
I think it's 50-50 0-10, 1-9.
But who's the one?
Okay. Well, Ed, before you make a decision, their new defensive coordinator is Ted Roof.
Leaky Roof. The roof. Ted Roof is on fire.
New Auburn coordinator week. So Ted Roof is back in the SEC.
He's back and he's ready to rock. I mean, they got a chance against the Chicken Fingers. They got a chance against Missouri. They got Ole Miss. Ole Miss,
Mississippi State.
That's it.
Pull one of those out. Yeah.
Ben follows up his previous question. Will 0-10 teams go to bowl games? I mean, This is gonna be one of those things where you make the argument, well, yeah, but we lost that one game in double overtime though, see, so it's okay.
Listen, there's some bowl somewhere who's like, well, we need somebody and they're willing. So are we gonna call the Ofer?
Let's do it.
The Ofer.
I'm down. Yeah, the barbecue has spoken. All right. That gets us through the East. And now I got to pause for just a second for a couple of things. First, I want to point out that we have a new friend of the show, Boris the Tiger, with his little headphones, and he has his own Twitter account. So if you want to follow Boris, it's at Boris AU Tiger. He has witty and pithy remarks about college football. He's at Boris AU Tiger in one long word. Now, our show, we don't do ads. We don't do commercials, John. Our show is 100% supported by our audience. You guys keep us on the air. And as you watch the disaster going on right now, you have to think, wow, I'm getting my money's worth tonight, baby. And so if you want to join the ranks of those who do that and be a friend of the show and part of the AU Wishbone family, just go to www.auwishbone.com. Just go to www.auwishbone.com. In fact, I'll even show you www.auwishbone.com. And there it is. Oh, the little bit of the soundboard peeking out. Look, you can see a little bit of the soundboard over there. Woo, woo, woo. It's a soundboard.
Oh, my God.
It's the soundboard. But anyway, yeah, you just go to auwishbone.com. There's the soundboard fan club. There it is. Just go to auwishbone.com. You got the player here, so you can listen to any recent show. You just drop down there for the menu, and you can scroll down. This is the first chance I've had to show people around the website, so I want to do it real quick. So you go to auwishbone.com. You can scroll down through all of our various recent shows and close it back. Has a little player here, so you can play it. We have an archive. This takes you to the Podbean site. And then you got the big orange button. You click on it. It takes you to patreon.com, where you can be a patron and help keep our show on the air. Also, if you want good old AU Wishbone t-shirts and hoodies, click on there. We got the Soundboard Fan Club stuff. We got Get Better at Celebrating, I think. We got the link to the YouTube channel. And then on down here, here's the primer. I told you I was going to put the primer up as a permanent thing. So if you want to refer people to it to learn about Auburn and about our show, you just go there and you can play it. And then we've got all 8 episodes of We Believed, right? All eight episodes, each one has a permanent player, so you can listen to all eight episodes that we've done this last couple of years. And then after that, we've got links to our books, so that John and I have written. So, okay, so just go to www.auwishbone.com and click on Become a Patron. And here now, as I always do, I will quickly tell you who all is doing such a thing. We have to thank the following members of the AU Wishbone family: Samuel Salvatore and Christopher Burleson, Phil Amthor, Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, William Morgan, Gary Grant, Brian Gray, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Steve Trawick, Logan Chilton, Tom Anderson, Richard Stevens, Ben Bloodworth, we just saw Ben, Connor Davis, James Greenwell, Emmanuel Seaman, WDE Ritchie, Phil Davis. I got something coming up, remember, just a second out of this group. John Otsuki, Preston Settle, Daniel Odom, AU Falling Up, Kevin Smith, Winston Boddy, Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, David Hegler, Mickey B, Shane Bailey, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Ann Kanjian, Clay Henson, George Gaston, Catherine England, John McCune, David Evers, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Rich Reimer, Timothy, Chris Hilton, Todd Gray, Eric Mahan, Dibama, plus just a few more. We have Sarah Hines, Darius Benton, Blake Heron, Kevin Mahan, Stephen Houston, Cato the Barner, Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Kevin Kenoy, Ross, Lane Middleton, Shannon Butson, Hugh Anderson, Rob Morgan, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Mike Finley, Randall Walker, Russell Milling, Chris Thrash, Earl Ricks, Spanky, Chris, Jason Albrick. Just did a podcast with him the other day about the Jack Ryan movies, and with his brother Jared. Russell Souther, Paul Bankson, Joseph Iliff, Matthew Flowers, Auburn Elvis, thank you very much, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Royce Alvarez, Trevor Johnson, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Lawrence Kane, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, James Taylor, Brent Rumble, Justin Bean, John Stubbs, and I'll like two more, right? Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Mick Vigicana, Joey Miller, and Mark Squire, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. And now, what I was thinking, we could do the drawing for Jared's print. And what if we do, instead of a drawing, we go for folks who have commented?
I like it.
So I'm going to roll a die. And this is between Tim, Clay, Stephen, Dwayne, Patrick, Ben, and Willie, in that order. And if we get an 8, I'll roll it again. Here we go. Oops. 6 is Ben Bloodworth. You have won a print. Way to go, Ben. Ben, if you are still watching or if you are listening to the show later, just drop me an email or a message on Twitter or however, contact me, and I'll hook you up with Jared to send you a signed print of Aubie. How cool is that? Okay.
You got to point out to Eric's comment before we keep going.
Oh, I didn't see it. Okay. Way to go, Ben. And it's awesome print, man. It's gorgeous. Okay, let's see. How is Auburn usually not officially advertised? We Believe series. It's that good. Wow. Eric, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Well, probably because I violated all kinds of copyright and trademark laws to do it, but I look at it as a documentary. Yeah, it's a documentary. It's preserving history.
It was a labor of love.
And so, therefore, I felt like I could use historical documents in it, like CBS recordings and stuff like that. So, thank you very much, Tim. We appreciate you. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. That's awesome. Okay. So, let me see. Again, I'm trying to remember all the things I'm supposed to do. So, we gave away the picture. We got Jared's second thing coming up in a little bit. But I guess next we have to do the SEC West, right?
That's right. And we're going to continue in alphabetical order, but we're going to move Auburn to the end. We always do Auburn last.
We always do.
So first up, the Evil Empire.
All right. Let me see. Go to the barbecue! Hey, Bama sucks. Hey, Bama sucks. Bama sucks. Bama sucks. I thought that was appropriate.
Very, very well done.
Thank you. Thank you. So, all right. Alabama. They actually kind of do a kind of a thing with their schedule. You know what I mean? Like they start out with Missouri and then A&M. Then they go to Ole Miss. And then they go to Georgia. And then they go to Tennessee, right? Mississippi State, open. LSU, Kentucky, Auburn. I mean, that's not – I mean, part of it is that it's Alabama. Mm-hmm. But that's not a that schedule lays out about as good as that schedule could lay out, it seems to me, for Alabama.
It's a middle of the pack for toughness, but it really does even out nicely in terms of clumping two huge games back-to-back. Mm-mm.
Georgia, Tennessee is about the only thing other than, I guess, depending on how Kentucky is. Yeah, they don't have – the only time they have two pretty good teams back-to-back is Georgia, Tennessee, and then Kentucky and Auburn. Or LSU, Kentucky, Auburn. But Kentucky's in the middle between LSU and Auburn. So for them, that's, you know, I mean, that's a, I mean, that really comes down to Georgia and us, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think there's probably one somewhere else in there. You know, they were really, really, really good last year, and they went 6-2 in the conference. For the first time in a long time, they kept the coaching staff together, other than the strength coach, which Georgia stole. But, you know, they got the two great receivers back, Waddle, who killed us single-handedly, and Devonta Smith. And those two together are the best combo in the league. And you add them and, you know, Najee Harris, and it almost doesn't matter who plays quarterback for them. They're going to be really good on offense. You know, they lost a lot on defense, a lot of experience, a lot of talented guys. So they're going to have to play some younger guys in the secondary. You know, I think the defense, again, is going to be about the same. And I think the offense without Tua and without, you know, some of the other receivers, some of the offensive linemen could take a little bit of a step back. This kind of year, I think things are going to happen. I'm going to say, to me, the barbecue same 8-2.
Yep, 8-2. I agree. I exactly agree. I think that I hadn't thought about this until now. I've been so busy thinking how Georgia's problems benefit us in week two that I hadn't thought about how it benefits Alabama in week four. Because if Georgia had their together, then that was going to be a game.
Yep.
But now I'm thinking Alabama's going to – and it's at home, not that, again, that this matters this year, but still you're at home. I mean, I feel like Georgia's not going to be able – I thought Georgia at their peak, it was going to be a heck of a game. Now I'm like, you know.
Yep.
John Atsuki has a question here. Do we think Mac Jones is capable of throwing three pick sixes in one game?
You know what? I believe in him.
Yes, that's good. So, yeah, 8-2 for Alabama. But honestly, I mean, if they really get their act together, then it's going to be losing either to us or Georgia. I don't think LSU is going to contend with them this year with everything they've lost. So if they really got their act together and beat either Auburn or Georgia – 9-1 is possible, but I agree that 8-2 is most likely.
Again, in the tiers, I mean, again, we've listed a bunch of other teams, and Florida and Georgia, you know, we gave kind of the same record. I think Alabama's the best of those teams. They just play a tougher schedule than Georgia or Florida does.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. We're leaving. We got to go Arkansas, right? I know my alphabet.
The Hogs.
The Hogs.
Time for a full pig.
I don't see one that really fits for them too well, so I'm just going to go with go to the barbecue. You know, it's funny, John. They're the team that actually tastes like barbecue. Unless you had chicken, smoked chicken, in which case it's South Carolina. But yeah. Yeah. So the team of barbecue. Are we sure we weren't eating the Vanderbilt barbecue again?
Is it better or worse than the Vanderbilt barbecue?
It's about the same, to be honest with you.
I think it's a little better, but the schedule is harder.
Well, you open with Georgia. Then you got 2 weeks later, you got Auburn. Mississippi State, that's looking pretty tough, too. Ole Miss, open, A&M, Tennessee, Florida, LSU. Good Lord, they go A&M, Tennessee, Florida, LSU, then to Missouri, and they come back home and finish with Alabama. And I do mean finish with Alabama. So
again, they number one toughest schedule in the league, and brand new head coach Sam Pittman, again, first time head coach. New offensive coordinator is Kendall Briles, and the defensive coordinator is the former Missouri coach. So he's a good DC. And I think they make good hires there, but not a ton of talent. Super tough schedule. But I'm going to say they luck into one win.
I think so. Yeah, the barbecue told me they're going to luck into one win. It could be Ole Miss. It could be, you know what, in week two, Mississippi State, they're going to throw the ball 75 times. They could throw a couple of pick sixes. It's possible with their offense. So I don't put blowing a game to Arkansas past Mississippi State's coach.
No.
He could find a way.
Double A teams. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love him to death, but he finds a way to blow some games, man. He absolutely does. So, yeah. Did I mention that book? Yeah, I mentioned – was it last week we talked about it? That really good book. So, yeah, about him and Mummy. Okay. So, that's Arkansas out of the way. Who's next? We dropped us out. Who's going down to?
The defending national champion, Louisiana State.
LSU, another Tiger. So, let me get out the old – No. It's LSU. I got to go with. Go to the barbecue, John. All right. It's not kind of what I was expecting. I was expecting some tough, experienced barbecue that was going to be
hard to eat with flavor.
Oh, man. And it's kind of exploded. I don't know about flavor. It's a little over. Yeah. It's overdone and left and gone. And is not much scraping behind.
It's like we got the leftover pieces and the good pieces are gone.
A lot of bark, but not a lot of meat on the bone.
That's it. It's mostly bark.
It's mostly bark. You'd think UGA would be that. But, okay, so I just don't know what to make of them. I mean, I feel like they're a completely different team this year than they were. You know, it's like night and day. They could be terrible, or they could be, you know, 5-5 or something. I mean,
I think they have a lot of talent and they have good coaches. But again, in this year, the amount of turnover and the drop-off in talent from the guys who played last year to the guys who are playing this year, even if they're high-profile recruits, is huge. It really is a 2011 Auburn situation here.
Yeah.
And it's not just the players, right? It's not just, you know, the best passing quarterback in the history of college football and the best receiver in the league and the best running back in the league. You know, they're starting safety and cornerback and all that kind of stuff. A lot of their offensive line. It's also, you know, the two coordinators who were both awesome. You know, I guess I get it. Ensminger is the coordinator, but, you know, the RPO guy who was so brilliant from the Saints has gone to the NFL. He's with the Carolina Panthers now. And the other loss I think everybody forgets about is Dave Aranda, the defensive coordinator, is gone. He's the head coach at Baylor, and they brought in Bo Pelini to run the defense. And Scott Linehan, a former NFL offensive coordinator, run the offense. And I think they're both, you know, good coordinators, but I just think, like, I thought Aranda was awesome. I thought he was so good as a defensive coordinator. And then obviously the offensive coordinator guy was really brilliant. And to me, other people try – and again, we've seen this before with Ensminger, him trying to run a brilliant coach's system. Like, I could drive a car, you left the playbook behind.
Yep.
It's just, we lived through 2003.
Three, yeah.
And that was the year. In 2002, the Auburn offense was brilliant because stupid Bobby Petrino was the offensive coordinator. And then he left, and Nall and Ensminger tried to run his offense, and we sucked. Yeah. And with a ton of talent in offense. And so I, you know, Linehan is a smart guy and he played in the NFL. They have a bunch of talent on offense. This is one of the teams that benefits the most, probably the most. They have the second easiest schedule in the conference. They had a non-conference game with Texas they don't have to play. And so, again, so forget last year for a minute, okay? If, say, last year never happened and you have an LSU team with two new coordinators and they have a lot of talent, but they've lost, you know, more experience and more talent than anybody in the conference. You know, even with the easier schedule, you can't pick that team, you know, to – I think a lot of people are picking them to go, like, 9-1 or 8-2 or anything, and I just can't do that.
No.
So, I mean, I think they're going to be good, they're going to be talented, and they're going to be competitive. But in this league, in this year, I think that means, you know, 6-4.
The barbecue is telling me that it comes down to the Texas A&M game, because Texas A&M should be able to beat them this year if they ever are. Yep. But it's kind of a Florida-Kentucky thing where you just don't bet on A&M to beat LSU because it just doesn't ever happen.
And this is the other great thing about that rivalry is it's back in A&M this year. And when 2 years ago when it was in A&M, that was the game. It was like the insane 4-overtime game. There was like a fight afterwards or whatever. So I like that it comes down to that.
So if they beat A&M 6-4, if they lose to A&M 5-5.
I agree.
Again, this is an LSU team that in a normal year, this would be like an 8-5 team.
Yes.
9-4, 8-5. But
and again, yeah. It's 2011 Auburn. They're going to feel like they're the man, but they don't have the difference makers. They have, you know, the one great defensive back who's a stud, Stingley. And they got some decent receivers coming back, and the quarterback may be really good, but he is not Joe Burrow.
No. All right. Let's see. We're to Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
All right. Let me find some Ole Miss tune here. This doesn't seem appropriate, but what the heck? I guess they got well, let's do this one. To the barbecue. Mark and them fellas are still eating.
What the hell is the world coming to?
Dang it!
I got him.
Where did it go? Oh.
What the hell is the world coming to? And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
We had to get this far into the show for the soundboard to start rearing its head. But there it is.
And we're at the Mississippi portion of the schedule, so it's perfectly fine now to just keep dropping that.
You lied to me. Release the hounds.
We haven't heard that one in a while, so.
I like it.
Okay.
That's a very Wayne Kiffin kind of.
It is. Okay, so Ole Miss, well, they open Florida at Kentucky, Alabama. That's not easy. Then they get a little break with Arkansas, and then they got Auburn. Then they get Vanderbilt and open. This is not a bad schedule, honestly, after that open.
They have one of the easier schedules in the league. Again, they get Arkansas and Vandy. They get South Carolina. You know, they have some talent back on offense, and Lane Kiffin's a pretty good offensive coach. And his offensive coordinator, he brought in this guy, Jeff Lebby, who is at Central Florida and who's, you know, kind of descended from the Baylor coaching tree. So I think they're going to be fun on offense, kind of frisky, scoring some points. Defensively, we'll see. DJ Durkin is the defense coordinator, the former Maryland coach, who was fired because one of his players died in practice. So. He's a good defensive coordinator, and I think they're going to be entertaining as heck. So when they play Alabama, whatever, sign me up. So
they, you know, yeah, with that schedule, the way it sets up, they could very well start 0-3 and 1-4, but then it kind of opens up for them a little bit. Yeah, I think it's going to depend on what happens with Mississippi State, as always, right? The Egg Bowl. And then you close at LSU. But if you're going to play at LSU, this is the year to do it, I guess, between the no crowd and all the players are gone. I mean, LSU is going to be at low ebb, really. They're going to be disappointed because they're not going to be, you know, 9-0 going to that game. We know. I mean, I could see Ole Miss, what, 4-6 maybe?
Yeah, I think 4-6 is kind of the good scenario. But I'll go with that. I'll buy it. Somebody, again, in the West, in that bottom tier, to get, you know, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas at the bottom, I think Ole Miss is kind of, you know, the top of that bottom tier.
Top of the bottom. I like it. I like it. Okay, let's see. We're rolling along. We've only been on the air an hour and 7 minutes, and we're almost to the bottom here. So we just got, we're rolling along pretty good here. Our show, this episode usually runs a little over an hour. That's fine. So let's see. We've done it's time for Mississippi State, isn't it?
It is.
It is time for Mississippi State. Let me see if I've got any dog related.
Yeah, do you have any nautical pirate theme?
That's true. No, I don't. But I've got something that I think Coach Leach would appreciate. Barbecue. Oh, I discovered that the
too much sauce on that one. I was almost
Oh dear. I discovered that the sweet Baby Ray's and the 17th Street goes very well together. That was a Mars Bringer of War by the AU marching band. I thought Coach Leach would appreciate that. Yeah, the Sweet Baby Ray's and the 17th Street together is a nice combination.
So this place that I go to, this I got from tonight, has multiple sauces, and I have a mustard sauce and kind of a vinegar Carolina sauce. I'm kind of going.
I appreciate both of those. Yeah.
And I want to point out, for the sake of our viewing audience, it is now 10:08 Eastern time where I am, and I'm eating barbecue. Okay. You know, this is for the sake of the podcast. I would not normally be eating meat at 10 p.m. on a work night. So
you give, John, you give to our listeners and viewers, and we appreciate that so much. Yeah. I'm an hour earlier. See, it's only 9:09 for me that I'm eating barbecue at 9:09 at night.
I ate dinner like 4 hours ago.
John, he will be thinking of all you listeners and viewers when he takes the ritual and acid later so he can sleep.
Barbecue show and acid, yes.
Oh, man. So the Pirates. The Mississippi State Pirate guys, let's see. Well, it doesn't open. Well, they open at LSU, and that's the big CBS 3:30 game, right? 3:30 game. But then they got Arkansas, Kentucky, A&M, they're open. Alabama, Vanderbilt, Auburn, Georgia, Ole Miss. That's kind of like a – I'm going to say that's like a 50-50 schedule. That's kind of hard and kind of easy. It sets up a little different. Barbecue is telling me they're going to be outright favored in two games, and they've got a shot at maybe two or three more. I'm going to say 3-7 with an outside chance at 4-6 if the things bounce the right way.
I like it. I think they'll be an incredibly entertaining 3-17.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be a lot of shootouts. I think they're going to be bad on defense, but fun on offense. And their transfer quarterback, KJ Costello, came in from Stanford, and I think he and Leach together, you know, they could be really fun throwing the ball over the place. They brought in a defense coordinator that we haven't seen before, a guy named Zach Arnett, who was at San Diego State, and they run like a 3-3-5, kind of an anti-spread West Coast defense. And so it'd be interesting to see that and how that does. I think he's a good coach, and they had a lot of success there, so – but it'll be a different looking kind of offense that we don't normally see, and a different looking defense. So it'll be tough to prepare for. And I think it's, you know, I think they're going to be fun. There'll be weeks when they get shut down, shut out, stomped on, and there'll be weeks when they score 40 on somebody. So they're going to be fun. Yeah.
It's funny, by the way, the barbecue has to set me straight on these, because I have a tendency, when I just look at it without the barbecues telling me, I look at the schedule and I see those same kind of lower East and West teams. And whichever team we're looking at, I have them beating like most of them. But that's not possible, right? They're going to beat each other.
That's right.
They can't all go 4-6 because they all beat everybody else, because it doesn't work that way. It's the math. There's trigonometry involved here, John. It's calculus somehow.
and intro. Right.
It is. So LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Who haven't we done yet besides us?
Texas A&M.
The Aggie Dogs. The Collie Dogs. The Collie Dogs. John, let's go to the barbecue with what haven't I done yet down here? I'm saving that one. Did that one. I'm running out of songs here. I guess I'm going to go with this one, even though it really doesn't have anything to do with Texas A&M.
A cattle drive kind of song? Or?
Well, you know, they're big on the military, right?
Yep.
No, that was short and sweet. I need a chip to wash it down. Okay. I'm running out of chips. I got to pour them out so I can get to them.
So, Texas A&M.
I saved one big chip for Auburn.
Good planning on your part.
And one big piece of pork.
Texas A&M, they have a lot of experience. And this is one of those years, if it was a regular year, they'd be one of those teams that with an easier schedule than they had last year and a ton of experience, they'd be kind of the hip pick. And you've kind of seen that already around the media where people are like, watch out for A&M this year. Some of that kind of stuff. Have one of, you know, the basically the 11th toughest schedule. So the third easiest, whichever way you want to look at it. So I think you combine that with a, you know, a lot of experience. The top receiver did opt out today.
Osmond.
But I, you know, 6-year senior Kellen Mond is back. And, you know, they dodge Georgia in the East. They get Florida at home.
What's crazy about Kellen Mond?
What?
He was like coming in at the same time as Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah.
I look at Kellen Mond, John, and I just hear, President Lincoln was talking to me and Kellen Mond the other day about the Battle of Gettysburg coming up. So, yeah, it just seems like he's been there forever. I just don't know what to make of him. Look at this. Here's the greatest opening 2 weeks in SEC. They open with Vanderbilt at home, and then they go to Alabama. It's like, woo! So they're definitely going to start 1-1. I mean, that we know, right? They're going to start 1-1. Beyond that, I mean, you could take it to the bank. They're going to start 1-1. And then they got Florida. They kind of got them sprinkled out, though. I mean, they go Mississippi State, open Arkansas, South Carolina, Tennessee, Ole Miss. That's about as good of a midseason stretch as anybody gets.
Yeah, they're going to be building some momentum at that point. You're going to be hearing,
good. Barbecue is telling me they need to beat Tennessee to go 7-3. Will they beat Tennessee?
I don't know. They went 4-4 last year in the conference, right?
Yeah.
But they have a lot of experience back. I think the easy schedule and the experience, I think it's going to push them to 7-3.
It could. Yeah. I mean, they're going to lose to Alabama. They're going to lose to Florida. They're going to lose to Auburn. They got to beat Tennessee.
And Tennessee, you're right. It's a swing game between 7-3 and 6-4.
Yeah. That's it. Okay. Does that take us to your Auburn Tigers?
It does.
Hey, let's go to the barbecue.
Van Chews. This is you know, the miracle of live video, ladies and gentlemen. So Auburn, third toughest schedule in the league, lost a couple of, you know, all-timers on the defensive line. Easy to say. But at the same time, there's some things that we could feel good about, right? Some reasons for optimism.
Sure.
And so I'm just going to walk through a few of those.
Okay. Do it.
While you're chewing that chip.
Go for it. I'll finish it off while you're explaining. Go ahead.
All right. So I think when I think about this year's Auburn team, again, I want to start with the defense. Everybody was almost immediately leap to Morris and Bo Nix in the offense. I want to start with the defense. And I think this defense, with the depth and the talent and the coaching of where Kevin Steele has gotten it, this isn't, you know, 2010 Nick Fairley and a bunch of guys with Derek Brown leaving. This is a really, really talented, well-coached defense, and they're going to continue to be a top 10 in the country defense, and, you know, maybe a top 5 in the country defense. I really, really believe that. We're going to miss Derek Brown and Marlon Davidson. Absolutely. Those guys are amazing. They're super. But I think other areas of the defense are going to improve, and I think the defense as a whole is going to keep us in every game throughout the season. It's going to continue to be the thing that keeps us in every game. I think a year ago, you know, we said we weren't worried about linebacker. And now I think linebacker is going to be the strength of the team. I think they're going to have the best linebackers in the country. I wouldn't trade it for anybody. And that's right. No, I mean, as Gus then pointed out, our schedules in the past have prepared Auburn to play a tough schedule like this, where some other teams maybe aren't ready to handle it. And I think the depth and talent at linebacker is going to be the thing that kind of steps up and helps take over. They're going to be the playmakers this year. And remember how last year we weren't worried about linebacker because we knew we had those talented guys stepping in. We weren't really losing sleep about it. That's how I feel about safety this year. We've lost two, you know, multi-year, really talented, really productive starters, but we got Jamie and Sherwood of Smoke Monday stepping in to start, and I have no worries. Like, I'm not worried about safety at all. I'm not concerned about it. And again, the defensive line, yes, we lost, you know, Derek Brown and Marlon, but we got, you know, a lot of four-star stud recruits in that line, and Rodney Gardner churns them out. And I think it's going to be more of a, you know, the sum of the 8 to 10 guys as a group and what they can produce, and less of kind of the superstar thing. But I think there's going to be a lot of depth and a lot of productive players. And again, I think the linebackers can be the stars on defense this year. I think Britt and Papo and, you know, Ricochet Rabbit can be the stars. And I think it's just a matter of the defensive linemen keeping the offensive line off of them and let them go do their thing and wreak havoc, and they're going to do it. So, you know, I'm not worried about the defense. Again, because the other thing I think is that last year was an all-time year for offense in the SEC. And I think most of those teams, like we talked about LSU, and a lot of those teams, the offense is going to be coming back to the pack a little bit. And so the defense will be good. It will be good enough to contain the offenses that we're going to face.
It was just a couple of years ago that we were like, well, our defensive line is good and our secondary is good. We just need those linebackers to stand up and be, you know, and now it's like we've completely gone the other way around.
Well, but it's also because of the way they've recruited and because of the way they coach and they play the young guys and the back, like we have literally, you know, a great depth all the way across the defense at every level. We have multiple guys at every position that, you know, can stand up and play. And there's a ton of freshmen on defense that are outstanding, and they're going to make a difference this year. You know, Jay Hardy, Zacchaeus Walker, Wesley Snyder, Ladarius Tennyson. You know, those guys are going to play, and they're going to make a difference. And I'm excited about them. So I think, again, the defense can handle, you know, if somebody misses a game, whatever, we're going to be okay. We're going to be able to, you know, do what we need to do. All right, so let's go shift over and talk about the offense. I think the biggest thing is that, you know, we saw this last year, we talked about it, there needs to be more easy throws for Bo Nix, right? And I think Chad Morris can create more easy throws for him, the jump off to the running back, the easy throw to the tight end, and that will help Bo Nix's confidence. It'll keep the offense moving. And I think Chad Morris knows how to scheme those things up. You know, last year we kind of saw Bo Nix with the training wheels on, in a sense, right? And it was kind of good and bad. And I think this year you're going to see Bo Nix without the training wheels on, and in an offense where he can attack more and use the whole field. You've heard other people talk about this. Jesse Ferguson has said this a lot. It is the truth that the thing that's separating this Auburn offense is big plays. That's what we got to generate more of, more big plays. And it's not a huge amount. The difference between us and Alabama is six big plays a game. Six. So like three per half. That's all we have to do. And I think between, you know, Bo Nix and Chad Morrison improving in the passing game, getting the ball to playmakers, you know, not just in space, but in space, like get it to Schwartz. And then when they're already moving forward, like you saw at Alabama and LSU last year, how many of their passes were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, but they hit those guys when they were already moving, they could catch the ball and run. And I think you're going to see Auburn's offense evolve in that direction this year and get the ball to those guys, to Schwartz, to Stove, to the other guys where they could catch it and move. The other piece is, I think we have more explosive players at running back. You know, I think I love Bubi Whitlow. We talked about this a lot, but we didn't get a lot of big plays out of him. And I think with the running backs that we have, you know, Shivers, Mark Anthony Richards, Tank Bigsby, DJ Williams, I think we're going to get much more big plays in the running game, more 10 yards, 15, 20 yard runs. And those combined with the passing game will be enough to create the big plays that we need on offense to make the offense take a big step forward.
What did you think about what was said about with Brandon Marcello commented on, you know, somebody was saying that they're going to throw to the tight ends a lot more. And Brandon said, you know, what Auburn needs is not throwing to the tight ends. It needs two quality SEC running backs. I kind of thought it was both. Both would be helpful, but I know what he meant.
Yeah. I mean, I think Auburn is going to throw the ball more than we did before, right? And when the past, when Auburn has thrown the ball, it's been like 90% wide receivers. And I think there's going to be, you know, more passes to tight ends and more passes to the running backs. I think the running backs are going to catch the ball more than people think. They just haven't done that in the past much at Auburn. So I think those two groups are going to catch the ball more. And again, those are going to be easier, shorter, safety valve kind of passes for Nix that'll help him instead of the kind of the scenario where he rolls out, there's one wide receiver deep and one wide receiver kind of medium and they're both covered and he can't do anything. So I think there's going to be some safety valve kind of stuff for him. And I think you're going to see that pay off that way. I think what we need is last year we had a freshman running back in DJ Williams, who maybe wasn't all the way ready. Mm-hmm. And we had in Boobie, who was banged up a lot of the season. I think you're going to see a rotation at running back playing those guys. And I think you're going to see more explosive plays out of the running back position. And I think that's really going to help it make the offense more kind of 2017-ish in a way. We don't have to throw the ball 50 yards down the field to make big plays. We just have to, we just have to hit Schwartz or Stove or one of the freshmen or whoever as they're running full speed 5 yards from the line of scrimmage while we've shifted and moved other people so that we pull the defense away from that guy. And that's possible. So, I mean, I think that combined with the bigger plays on running backs will allow the offense to evolve. So your thoughts before we reveal what the barbecue has told us.
No, I agree. I think that I think you hit on it just now. Giving the quarterback things to do besides throw a long pass or get sacked, right? Those have been our options before. Giving them a third option, which is drop it to the running back, hit the tight end, something like that, that will go a long way towards helping our offense. By the way, Josh asked questions, will this be posted? Yeah, this will be the video will be on YouTube permanently. And the audio will go out as usual at like midnight tonight for first thing in the morning on iTunes and Podbean and all that. So you got both ways and Spotify, I think, and whatever else. So, I mean, that'll make I'm glad you did a good evaluation of the defense because I haven't honestly paid as close of attention. I've been worried about the offense and been worried about the thought that, yeah, I guess what it comes down to, we've said that Boobie's been a good running back in terms of
Gus.
He's been as close to an SEC back as we had, you know. But now I think we've got two or three that, you know, either are or will be legitimate SEC backs. And I just kind of was taking that for granted. Brandon's kind of like, well, that's what Auburn needs. I'm like, I kind of feel like we have that now. And so what we need now is to find other things that we can do on offense in addition to what we think we're going to be able to do. You know what I mean? It's all these pieces together. So the barbecue was telling me the barbecue first suggested that
we got to get better at celebrating.
And that's always true. Right. It then said it. Oh, Josh has a,
maybe. I mean, again, he was a high school quarterback who was rushed into it last year. Maybe he, again, I think of all the guys, you could see him as the most inside the tackles kind of bruising runner. But I think, I mean, again, I'm all in on Mark Anthony Richards this year. I think that's the guy I look as the breakout guy, catching a lot of passes and making stuff happen. But I could, there's going to be a lot of games where there's multiple guys getting 10 carries.
DJ Williams, as best I can recall, had two good games, two particularly good games. Ole Miss and LSU.
Yep.
And otherwise, he seemed very tackleable in the backfield or after about a yard. He just didn't have the break. He looked like a big back that just couldn't actually play as much like a big back a lot of the time. So I'm wanting him to take a step forward. And if he does, and as you say, there was obviously reasons why. But if DJ can take a step forward, and if Tank can be what we think he's going to be, and if Mark Anthony can be what we think he can be, and then Shivers can be a role player, you know, out of the backfield and all that, third down back, catching passes, whatever, we have the potential to have to for an exponential leap. I mean, there's reasons why Booby decided to look for, you know, to go to SIU or wherever, or play a team that plays at SIU. So,
I think that's the position offense where we're going to get dramatically better. And the other one that I says is the other position I think we're going to get better is kind of the back half of the receiver group. You know, I think we had Sal Cannella, you know, post-injury Will Hastings, some other guys that were kind of and now, you know, you got the top three receivers. You got Seth, you got Anthony Schwartz, you got Stove, who are all, you know, good playmakers. And then I think 4 through 6, you're looking at some – I mean, people talk about Shedrick Jackson mainly because he's a good blocker and they feel like he could do some stuff. But, I mean, I'm really thinking, you know, Xavion Capers and Kobe Hudson, the two freshmen, would probably be the other two receivers that get a lot of playing time this year. They played with the ones and the twos over the last couple of weeks. And I think – I think those two guys and then the other freshmen are kind of the future of that position. And I think – you know, they're, you know, when Schwartz and Seth Williams aren't in the game, I think those guys are going to be in the game and they're going to be making plays. So I think that's, again, a position where we've gotten better.
Yeah.
I feel better about having those guys in than, I mean, Sal made a couple of big catches in his career, but a lot of times he was a non-factor.
Well, John, you know what you get when you eat undercooked Italian chicken, Sal Cannella.
Please clap.
So. So, I'm a 17-year freshman.
Malik Miller, you know, again, this is the thing. Like, if Malik Miller had come back, then
good too. I think he's got a chance. I think he's got a chance to be our fourth receiver and
you're talking about
Shedrick, yeah.
No, again, he had one really good play in the Georgia game maybe last year. And you know, again, he blocks well. He knows the offense. I mean, I think he could be a difference maker. So,
yeah.
Again, they want guys who will block on the perimeter. We know this. This is a
and he does
that. Gus and Cody want that. So, him being willing to do that could get him some playing time.
I think that our offense is going to come down to can Chad Morris game plan around the offensive line until they get better and better and better. They're not going to, you know. It's easy to say we got all these good running backs. Can we open some holes for them?
Yeah, that's right.
We got all these receivers and tight ends. Will Bo have time to throw the ball?
I think that's the thing. I think Chad Morris can help us get to a place where Bo Nix can have success, but without having to stand in the pocket for 10 seconds.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to drop back and survey the field or try to throw the ball 50 yards. There are a lot of really great productive throws in modern offenses are within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. And look at the stuff LSU did. Look at the stuff the Kansas City Chiefs do. Those kind of teams, there's a lot of you know, crisscrossing and shifting and stuff that leaves guys in good positions near the line of scrimmage, and it's a quick, easy pass for the quarterback, and Bo can do that. You know, and I think, again, you move, get all his pieces going, and then you get him kind of running and throwing and stuff and putting pressure on the defense.
Yeah. Yeah. And Zach said, hold on, Josh said, do we have another long-haired receiver play? It's kind of a requirement that somebody has to grow their hair out. I'm not sure. And Zach says, you don't have to block long for a slant. Exactly. We just don't necessarily throw the slants, but maybe we will. I think
we will. I think we're going to get Schwartz the ball in a lot of different ways to make it productive.
And there's little Cam, yeah. Kalen Newton.
Kalen Newton playing receiver. I think that's the way I think he could play. The other thing is, again, he has like 3 years of eligibility left too, so he's not going anywhere.
All right. We got to get to the barbecue. We had the barbecue an hour ago. We got to get to the predictions here. We got to get to the predictions. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, mine is jumping out at me.
Go.
The barbecue told me in a normal Gus Malzahn Auburn year, this is a 7-3 at best. Last year's team would go 7-3, maybe year before last. But with these new running backs, the players everything we just talked about, this could be 8-2, and this year 8-2 could win the SEC. What do you say? He's thinking. The barbecue's working. I think the barbecue faded out, man. Is it, we
analyzed long from the time we ate the barbecue.
Oh, no.
No, I'm good. I agree with you. I think in a regular 12-game season, I think we'd be that kind of team. We'd be a 9-3 kind of team, right? Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with a really good offense and a tough schedule, so I like 7-3, 8-2, and I'm going to go with 8-2. I'm in. Let's do it. What's right?
Yeah, and it may not be the two you think, right? I mean,
I think the best record I picked for anybody was 8-2, and yeah. I think I 100% believe that because there's going to be weeks when guys are out and teams lose to people they don't think so. They lose to people that they're not going to expect to lose to. And I think so there's going to be some element of unpredictability that we're all going to have to roll with. And Auburn is a team that thrives in the chaos. And also I think Gus and Chad Morris were high school coaches. They're used to having to adapt and improvise and work with what they have. And I think that'll be an advantage for us over some of these other programs.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'm saying it 8-2, and it may not be the two you think. I honestly feel more strongly that we beat Georgia than we beat Kentucky, to be honest with you. I'm not saying we're going to lose to Kentucky. I'm not. I'm just saying I feel more confident. I just feel like everything is stacking up to where we have a good shot at Georgia, and you know they're going to be up for it.
Yeah.
Whereas Kentucky is a game where it's your opening game. You know,
the 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
Right, it's that. So the Kentucky game worries me more than Georgia, honestly, as weird as that sounds. I feel good about Arkansas, the Chickens, Ole Miss, LSU. Have an open date before Mississippi State, lets you kind of adjust to that passing game. Tennessee, we should, Lord knows. If we can just get by Georgia, we should go into the Alabama game. We could go into the Alabama game undefeated and, or with one loss at most. So this could be a very good year, depending on how it's. I like how our schedule stacks up after we get past Georgia.
I do too.
I really do.
And we talked about it. I think it kind of breaks into chunks. There's a nice stretch after Georgia where we can get the offense really, really cranked up at that point before the home stretch. And I think
– Exactly.
And again, returning coach, same offensive system, tweaking the passing game a little bit, but experienced quarterback, experienced receivers, and Bill Connolly, who does the SAP production thing for ESPN – one of the things that he studied over the last couple of years is actually that one of the biggest benefits in terms of returning, one of the biggest things of value on our team is returning experience at receiver, actually. And his numbers over time show that actually makes more difference than offensive line experience.
Wow. Wow. Did you notice our home game on October 10th with Arkansas is our second home game of the year? We don't play at home again, but one time until November 21st against Tennessee.
Yep.
So we've got a period there in the middle where we're on the road, but it's at Carolina, at Ole Miss. There's an open date at Mississippi State. If we can get through those road games, and this is a year if you're going to play road games, right? This is the year you want to play them. We couldn't have had a better year to go to Georgia and to Alabama.
100%. That's 100% it. If it was a regular year, you would look at those Georgia and Alabama games with the home crowd and go, no.
Right.
And so, but I think, the crowd is not going to be nearly a factor. Again, I do think Georgia is going to be tough, Josh, but I think we talked about it. I think their offense is not going to be clicking up full cylinders in the second game of the season. Their defense is going to be awesome. So I think that game could be a defensive war. But I think Auburn with the returning experience and quarterback, I think that could be the thing that makes the difference here.
Yeah, there was a weird thing last year too. Ben is right. It did feel weird. But I guess, yeah, I'm just saying if you're going to play Alabama and Georgia on the road, this is the year to do it. That's and right. I mean, I look at our schedule and I think about how things tend to go, where we find a way to lose to LSU when we shouldn't. We find a way to lose to Tennessee when we shouldn't. And I go, oh, boy. But I look at our schedule again with, like, optimism and confidence in what we're doing, and I feel like we could seriously, if we can get past that Georgia game, I mean, you know, the conventional wisdom is we lose to Georgia, we lose at the beginning, we lose to Alabama at the end, and we beat everybody else, we go 8-2. But honestly, if we can win that Georgia game, all bets are off.
Yep.
You never know.
It'll be huge. And again, we've talked about it's different playing them early in the season.
We've never done that.
No, it's going to be weird for everybody. And it's good. And again, I think we don't want it. And again, next year we have the home games. We got to get rid of this. So
we need 87,000 in there for that. Yeah.
We got to get some vaccine distribution cranked up before the home schedule next year. But I think the biggest thing is, I think, you know, the experience of quarterback, the talent we have back on offense, we're going to score some points this year.
Well,
the last thing I want to say is on that is, if you watched any college football this weekend, there was a lot of uneven, choppy play, bad special teams, teams not looking great, teams not tackling well. I think Auburn will be better prepared than some of those other teams, because number one, we're taking the time to practice and do those things, and that we're learning some lessons from these teams that are playing now. There's going to be some teams that, you know, an SEC team rolls out and has a terrible week on special teams or something.
I don't have facts to back this up.
But all right, we gotta wrap up. We got a big season ahead, right? We'll have a show every week. We'll try to squeeze in some video shows here and there. We may just, I don't know. We'll talk about what we want to do.
Yep. And next, again, a week from today, previewing the Kentucky game. So
yeah, Auburn, Kentucky.
So feedback from this episode, send it to us. Listener questions, send it to us. Your questions, concerns, your thoughts about the Kentucky game, send it to us. And, you know, next week it's all on Kentucky focus.
This is burner account. I wonder who the burner account is. oh, thanks, Josh. We appreciate you being on. And so auwishbone@gmail.com if you use the emails.
Yep.
At auwishbone if you like the Twitter. And we have a Facebook page, but we don't really have, like, communications through it. You can go there to pick up on stuff. Oh, there's Ben Spooner. Hey, Ben. What's up? Well, it'll be on here.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, you got it on YouTube. It'll be here. It'll live forever, or until we all go to jail.
Live forever. Which, again, says something about
it does.
Priorities, I guess.
any last thoughts, sir? I'm done.
Again, it's almost 11 p.m. Eastern, and I'm still eating meat. So I'm, War Eagle, and I hope we have a fun and successful season.
Yeah, I think it should be a lot of fun. Join us here a week from today. We'll preview the Kentucky game. Oh, and it was AU falling up. Very good. All right, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at AU Wishbone and at facebook.com/AU Wishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.